Amen. That's a great song. You may be seated. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your love for us, the hope that we have because of Christ, the freedom that we have together to worship. Father, we thank you for your word, the word that you've given us to guide us, direct us, so that we have a foundation for truth to build our lives on. And we thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. I'm glad that you're here. I hope that you are glad to be here. We are going to be in the Bible today in multiple places. I'm excited to be this. We are finishing up. We finished up 1 Timothy. Can you believe that we've already finished up 1 Timothy? 1 Timothy has went by. We've had a great study through the book of 1 Timothy on different aspects of Timothy and all of those things. And Darren did a great review last week. But this week is the first sermon in the series on church leadership. And I know all of you woke up in the middle of the night this week and thought, when are those guys from the front going to talk about church leadership? Right? In the middle of the night, you were thinking about that. Well, we started. So this is the first of all of those sermons. It's a six-week sermon series. And then we jump into Christmas. Christmas series. Time is going by quick. But this is church leadership series. And we are going to start off with church leader terms. But church leadership series, I want to put that up for you just to remind you. Church leadership is key in the body of the church, and we need to understand it. As we study church leadership, if you have any questions, if you have any concerns, please write them down. If you don't write them down, ask the guys who speak from them, ask Darren, ask Jeff, ask myself, who will be speaking through the series. And there are several reasons we want to study church leadership. Most importantly, God wrote about it. It's in his word. Therefore, he's glorified as we follow his instructions from his word. As we follow God's word, as he give it to us, he is glorified in all of that. And we desire to be a church founded on God's word, structuring our church the way God designed it to be. That is what we desire to do. And when we as a body, a family of God connected because of Christ, know what God's word says about leadership, and we structure our church leadership after God's word, there's multiple things that happen. We have examples to follow. Men to guide us and to direct us. Our faith individually is strengthened, and our faith as a body is strengthened. The unity in the family of God is strengthened and brought together. And we grow spiritually individually and as a body together. These are great benefits of doing things God's way. As we transition our church leadership into elders and deacons here at EBC, we will all know that it is not a man's idea. It is not a group of men's idea. This is God's plan. This is God's design. This is God's idea. Those are the benefits and the reasons we want to study church leadership. Many view the New Testament teaching about church leadership to be ancient and not practical. They're wrong. That view of that is part of the reason there are multiple views of church leadership. It's part of the reason there's such a vast variety of church leader structures that aren't completely biblical. And we desire to live by God's word and function by God's word. And sometimes we need to be reminded that what Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 say, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's ways sometimes aren't men's ways. But God's ways are always the best way, because God blesses those things in all of that. So as we get started, we're going to talk about church leadership terms and what they mean and some of the names throughout the scriptures that talk about this. And this is a foundational understanding as we move forward into church leadership so that you know what we're talking about, so that you know what God's word says about this and who we're talking about and where they function and where are their roles and their qualifications and what they do in the church body. So as you see these words, you'll be reminded of all of those things. So that's where we're starting today. And it is exciting. It's going to be a word study, but it's exciting because why is it exciting? It's God's word. It's God's way. It's his design. It's his plan. And he's changing and molding and making us each individually to be more like his son, Jesus Christ. And that's the exciting part of it. That's the exciting part of it. So we're going to start here in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. And again, we're going to be in Acts. Acts chapter 20 is where we're going to find ourselves a lot. So if you have a marker or a finger, stick it in Acts 20, and we'll bounce around a little bit. But we're going to be, most of the time, we're going to be in Acts chapter 20. But right now, I want to start out in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Because we see here that elders and deacons are the only two leadership roles presented to us in Scripture. And this is the only verse in the Bible that all of them are put together. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus. This is Philippians 1, verse 1. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. Well, you tell me, you say, I didn't hear the word elders there. No, you didn't. You heard the word overseers there. So we're going to get to that. Just hang on. Those are the only two offices that are mentioned in Scripture there. Elders and deacons are biblical names for church leadership. 1 Timothy, how many of you remember when we studied through 1 Timothy? All right, praise the Lord. It was just last week. I'm glad that most of you remember that. Okay, but 1 Timothy talks about the qualifications of these elders and deacons, specifically in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 1 through 13 that talks about the qualifications that are given to elders and deacons. There are no other qualifications in the scriptures given to other roles or other leaders in the word. It's just elders and deacons. Biblical leadership is different than the world's view of leadership as well. And I will, these slides, there's a ton of references that I'm going to give you, so I'm going to just give you a heads up. I'm not going to read through them all. We're not going to turn to them all, but they're all going to be on the screen. So my desire for you is that you write them down and you study them as we study through church leadership because they will be used over and over again to teach through church leadership. But biblical leadership is different than the world's idea of leadership. So I want to give you some examples of worldly leadership, some quotes that I found. Leadership is the art of getting someone else to do something you want done because he wants to do it. That sounds a little bit like manipulation to me. Effective leadership is not about making speeches or being liked. Leadership is defined by results, not attributes. So the leader's character doesn't matter. It's the result. 90% of leadership is the ability to communicate something people want to hear. I don't think that's right either. That sounds like pleasing other people, right? All of these quotes are worldly quotes. They are all in contrast to biblical leadership. And we know that from Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23, we read Christ speaking to his disciples, but also others there, Pharisees and religious leaders. But in Matthew chapter 23, verses 10 through 12, we read, "Do not be called leaders." This is Christ speaking. "Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted." Elders and deacons are servant leaders of the flock of God, of the body, of the family of God, connected that way. And we see also in 1 Peter, 1 Peter talks about elders specifically, but church leadership, and there the contrast between biblical leadership and the world's leadership. It's very different. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight." So seeing to people's needs and meeting people's needs. "Not under compulsion," not forced to do it, but voluntarily doing it. "According to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Nor yet as lording it over these allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock." We see all of those things in 1 Peter chapter 5. They're very different and diametrically different than the world's view of leadership. Biblical leadership is very different, drastically different than worldly leadership. And that's part of the reason we want to speak through this and teach through this church leadership, is that some of the world's view of leadership has infiltrated the church. And they've set up their church structures to look like worldly structures. And that's wrong. But as these elders and deacons are servant leaders of the flock and lead God's people, they are under the headship of Christ. Because Christ is the head of the church. And we know that from Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. "For by him," speaking about Christ, "by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth." Visible. Did I not adjust the slides? Oh, I did. I'm good. Back to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church." We see there that elders, deacons, church leadership falls under the headship of Christ. And we know that. And we see also that in John chapter 10 that Christ talks about being the good shepherd. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me." And elders and deacons and church leadership should follow Christ's example, should model his example, reflect his attitude as well. So it's very different and drastically different than the world's leadership. We move into some of the terms that we've used. Elders and deacons are the ones that we're going to look at because they're the only ones in Scripture that are talked about and given qualifications for, so they're the only biblical leaders. Deacons is first. Acts chapter 6. Turn with me to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6 and verses 1 through 6 is where we read about the appointment of deacons. "Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them." That's the installation, appointment of the first deacons. That's when their ministry was established. It is a new office of church leadership added after Christ ascended to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit. So there's an office of leadership, and deacons is added there. And you see the qualifications there. They say, in those verses, "Choose men who are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom." Again, we look back at the qualifications and the spiritual characteristics of these men, and they're in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 8 lays out all of these characteristics for them, and we just studied through that in 1 Timothy. And you know, and you see Stephen listed in there. Stephen was a great example of this kind of leader, and we know that. Stephen was full of grace and power. Verse 8 of that same chapter, chapter 6. It said, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. And he came into a conflict with some religious people and some men who were not appreciative of his grace and spirit. But when they interacted with him, we see it in verse 10, but they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. So they chose men full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. They were not told to look for rich people. Go look for rich men, famous men, politicians. Go look for great businessmen. Go look for a man who is at the church every time the door is open. They were not told that. They were told to look for men full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. That's what they were told to look for. God's standard is much different than the world's standard, and we know that. So why the addition of this church office? Why the addition of deacons? And we know that right there from verse in chapter 6, in verse 2, it says, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. So the elders that were there, the deacons were appointed because it allows them and frees them up to focus on the spiritual needs of God's people. To focus on the spiritual needs of God's people. And I've mentioned deacons because they're a part of biblical leadership. EBC, Alfreda Baptist Church, this church, has had deacons in leadership for 73 years. Since the origination of this church, there's been faithful men who have served in that role. Men who are full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely have. The main part of this study and the main focus of our study on church leadership will be focused on elders. Because that's the transition of our church. That's the transition we're going in. Elders in both the Old and New Testament, the term elder indicates one advanced in age who had an office of leadership within the people of God. So I want to start in the Old Testament, talking about Old Testament elders. We're not informed about their origination of the office in the Old Testament, like when it started, but it probably developed from a tribal structure, the elder being the head of the family or the elder being the head of the tribe. Age was significant because it implied both the experience and wisdom that comes with age and the respect owed the elder. But with that, growing older, however, doesn't necessarily mean we grow wiser, does it? I worked with a young man, well, not a young man, he was an older man. I was a young man. I was 12 years old. I worked on a hay farm. We were doing hay, and this gentleman that I worked for was probably in his 30s, 35. So hay, the hay baler, we had a kick baler, what they call a kick baler. On a kick baler, you didn't have to have someone on the wagon stacking things. The baler just kicked the bale into the wagon, right? The baler got jammed. I ran out to the field to help him. He got off the tractor, did not shut anything off, did not turn off the baler, did not turn off the PTO, did not turn off anything. And he is in the back, this kick baler, pulling on the bale of hay that's jammed in there. What's going to happen if the bale gets unlodged? It's going to come off, the kick baler mechanism is going to hit him right here and probably remove his head. And as a 12-year-old boy, I was a little bit wiser in that moment than he was. And I went and shut the tractor off, shut the baler off, shut everything down so that we could unjam it. So again, age does not always equate wisdom. There are lots of young men who are much wiser than a lot of older men as well. So the elders that are chosen and the elders that were chosen in the Old Testament and chosen today need to be chosen very carefully. They need to be men full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. And elders could serve, in the Old Testament, elders could serve in multiple areas. And I want to turn with me, I don't have this on the screen, I don't think, but turn to Judges. Judges chapter 8. Just so that you have some references for Old Testament elders. Old Testament elders. So they served in local areas, they served in different areas, and they served in these three different areas that I want to show and point out from Scripture. So in Judges chapter 8 and verse 14, it talks about the elders of a city. Judges chapter 8, verse 14. And he captured a youth from Succoth and questioned him. Then the youth wrote down from him the princes of Succoth and its elders, 77 men. So this city, Succoth, had elders. So we see that elders could serve at the city level as well as the regional level, or the elders of a tribe or a people group. And we see that in Judges chapter 11. In Judges chapter 11, just a few pages over to your right, Judges chapter 11, verse 5, talks about elders of a tribe. When the sons of Ammon fought against, this is Judges chapter 11, verse 5, against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to get Japheth from the land of Tob. So Gilead was a tribe or a people, and there was elders of those people as well. And we also know that there were elders of nations, right? Exodus. Turn with me to Exodus, quite a few pages back to your left. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 16, we see the elders of the nation Israel, God's people. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 16. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I indeed am concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt. So go and gather the elders of Israel, God's people. So again, just examples of elders throughout the Old Testament that were serving in different areas, from cities to tribes to regions to nations as well. And we also know that the priests, Old Testament priests, were there. They were already in place before Moses and then following Moses as well, along with the elders. So the elders and the priest in the Old Testament shared the guidance. They shared the responsibilities of leading and guiding and directing God's people. Obviously, the priest had responsibilities, and their responsibility was spiritual guidance and the administration of sacrifices, offering sacrifices to God. We know that. But there was also a group of elders, and I want to turn with me to Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Numbers 11, chapter 11. There were elders that were put in a responsibility position to guide and direct and help Moses, because Moses couldn't carry all of the responsibility. God brought more elders along with them, 70 men to be exact. And I want to read Numbers 11, verses 16 through 17. The Lord therefore said to Moses, gather for me 70 men from the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and their officers, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. Then I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take the Spirit who is upon you, and will put him upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you will not bear it all alone. So we see, obviously, Moses was trying to lead the people and gather the people there, but God couldn't do it, and God supplied that they would put 70 elders in that position with him to be responsible for the people, God's people, Israel as well. So the Old Testament elders. But leadership changed. Leadership changed after Christ's perfect sacrifice and ascension to the Father. There's no more need for sacrifices. Christ's perfect, all-sufficient sacrifice was once and paid for all. It also ushered in the believer's priesthood. There was no longer a need for priests, because the priests administered the sacrifices as well. And in addition, we see the office of deacon added to that as well. So there were some changes after Christ. But the New Testament elder cannot be completely and fully understood without the background that we see, and the background that we just covered from the Old Testament. Because we see the necessity of that, because God had that designed in the Old Testament as well. So we'll move into New Testament elders, biblical terms for elders. And the verse there is Acts chapter 14, verse 23. So when they had appointed elders in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So we see the installation of elders there as well in Acts and throughout the book of Acts. And again, we're going to be back in Acts, and we'll probably land there for quite a bit in Acts chapter 20. So turn with me back over to Acts chapter 20, a few pages to your right. And the reason I want to land there in Acts chapter 20 is that Luke, the author of these scriptures in Acts chapter 20, God's the author, he just penned it through Luke. But all three words to describe the office of elder are used in one passage. And this is where we will be reading it from. Other references will be on the screen, again, so that you can write them down. But we see that elders, overseers, and shepherds are all on in this one passage that describe elder as well. So that's where we're going to be from, reading from, is Acts chapter 20. So the first term that we see for biblical elders is the shepherd. Shepherd or pastor. Shepherd or pastor. Shepherd is the verb. Pastor is the noun of that same Greek word. Pimen and pimeno. It describes shepherd. Someone to guide and to help. Someone to take care of God's flock, God's people, God's family. This is an intimate relationship between a shepherd and a flock. And it is interesting, I don't know if any of you saw the picture that I put up there the first time with the church leadership there, but you saw the shepherd and his sheep. Much different than what we see is they lead their sheep. They don't drive the sheep. They don't force the sheep. We see them following. There's an intimate relationship where the sheep knows the voice of the shepherd. And we know that from Scripture, that that is used throughout Scriptures, talking about that. And this same word is used for the relationship, for the description of the elder. The elder. In Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Shepherd. Shepherd the flock. And again, these other scriptures, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, is the word pastor, but it is the Greek word pimen, which is shepherd, to shepherd. That's the noun portion of that. But the shepherd, pastor, shepherd, is one of the terms that is used. So as you read through Scripture and you see that it's talked about as the to shepherd God's flock or shepherding God's flock, that's talking about the elders of that church, of the body, of that local body there. And the next one we've already hit a little bit on is the word overseer, episkopos, overseer. Overseer means overseer. Or bishop, or guardian, or church leader. And overseeing the affairs of the church body. Overseeing all of those things. Taking charge of that. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. It's again in that same verse. Be on guard for yourselves, for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Overseers. And there are also other ones. You know, we talked about Philippians chapter 1 verse 1. We already read that, where Paul mentions both church leadership offices in the same verse as well. Y'all got all of those references? Because the next one, there's a whole lot more references on that. But it is the biblical term for elders as elders. So the shocking thing that I don't see any of you like I do at school when I have a class, I don't see any of you taking your phone out and taking pictures of the screen. Just a thought. I'm glad you're not. But again, and a study like this can get overwhelming because of the amount of scriptures that we want to point out because of the amount of what God has written about it. And as we transition as a church, we need to understand it. We need to know what God's word says, and we need to understand why it says that. So that's why I give you all the things. I don't want you to hear the voice of a man standing up here and saying, this transition is this. I want you to hear God saying, the transition for this is my design and my plan and my idea, not a man's. And that's why I point you to these scriptures, because that's God's word, not mine. So the word elder, presbyteros, means elder or spiritually mature man, spiritually mature men. Counsel is sought and counsel is given by the wise. people seek out those who are wise, spiritually more mature than themselves, for counsel. And that counsel is given by spiritually mature men full of wisdom and full of the Spirit. We read in Acts chapter 20 and verse 17 where Paul calls for all of the elders of the church at Ephesus to come to Miletus. It says, Acts chapter 20, verse 17, "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." And there are multiple other scriptures that talk about that. We read the one in Acts chapter 14, and in Acts chapter 15, there's multiple scriptures that talk about the elders as well. 1 Timothy, we talked about the elders' qualifications as well in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 5, we talked about how to discipline elders and all of those ways. And as we continue to study through God's word, we'll see it in Titus as well. These are the terms that I want you to be reminded. Shepherd, overseer, elder, be reminded of, think of when we read to and when we study through God's word, talking about the church leadership, that it is the same person. And I want to say that shepherd, pastor, overseer, elders, it's not three distinct offices, but it's the different ways to describe the same men and their ministry. That's what it's talking about. The elder is wrapped up into all of that, the description of that. And we see the amount of scripture that's written concerning the office of elder shows us the importance of it. It shows us the importance of the church leadership, of elders and deacons being part of that church leadership and the only part of that church leadership and the structure that God puts behind it. God's word is clear about church leadership. Elders and deacons. So when we as a family, connected because of the shed blood of Christ, when we know what God's word says, and we know what God's word says about leadership, and we structure our church leadership to function that way and to reflect that, that goes back to, folks, just the words, when you hear the word shepherd, overseer, in my mind, I think completely of someone who's there to help me, to guide me, to direct me, have an intimate relationship with, that is not just a single man. It is a group of men who are guiding and directing the body of Christ based specifically on God's word. And we grow individually. And we grow together in the unity that just strengthens in the body of Christ is amazing. Because it's about God and we're doing things God's way. We have examples to follow. We saw that in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3. Follow these men. The examples. The importance of that leadership role. The importance of that church leadership is in many ways, sadly in some churches, dismissed and changed because they're not structuring their church leadership the way God has designed it and planned it. And we need to make sure we are a church body who is founded on God's word, seeking to do things the way God designed and God planned. Because we can follow Christ who is ahead, and these men who follow that example will be great examples for the rest of us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the direction and the truth that you've written in your word specifically about church leadership this morning. Father, I pray for everyone who is here and all of our church body as this transition happens, as we move forward and as we seek to do the things and to structure our church leadership the way that you designed and the way that you planned. Father, we just are overjoyed that there's direction from your word. Well, we ask that you would give wisdom, patience, compassion, love for one another as we do this. Father, our heart's desire is to honor you in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Stand with me and we'll sing a song together. What if it were today? Praise the Lord. Amen. That would be the greatest day ever, right? That would be an incredible day. But he is coming someday. And like that song says, will he find us faithful? Will he find us faithful individually? Will he find us faithful as a body, seeking to grow and to be more like him? Folks, this is the first sermon in the church leadership, and just laying out words to describe those men who are in those roles as leadership. As we continue to study, we will understand qualifications and functions and roles and the different things that they lead and the different ways that they lead. And God has given us his word to guide us and direct us. So continue to study those passages because they will be used throughout the series. And if you have questions, if you have concerns, write them down. Hand them to one of the guys who speak from the front. Ask them. But make sure they write it down because they will never remember that question. Okay? And I'll speak for myself. I won't speak for Jeff or Darren, but I won't remember. So I'll make sure I write it down. But it is a glorious thing to be a body of Christ that its desire is to go and function the way God desires us to function. So pray for the men in the leadership who are a part of that transition, and pray for each other as we transition in this way, because God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. You are dismissed. Have a great week.
And the angels will cry.